Well, good morning. It's hard to believe, but today will be the last sermon in this series on the book of Hebrews. I may just preach one more message, but it's not really part of the exegetical process of the book of Hebrews. And believe it or not, we began this journey on the 24th of January this year, and now almost 9 months later, our baby is 1 week overdue. Today also marks the completion of 13 years of ministry that Patricia and I have had here at Bethany Emmanuel. We started on the 1st of November 2008, having left our children back in Gauteng to fend them for themselves. We moved down to King Williamstown, and I certainly can hardly believe that we've been here this long. The message is significant today because it talks about leadership. Leadership in government, leadership in church, and also the leadership that we receive from God Himself. It's significant because certainly being a leader here at Bethany for such a long time, it was good to remind myself of what's important about leadership. But it's also important that tomorrow we as a country go to elections. And this passage talks about governmental leadership as well. So before I read, let's a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We want to just pray for ourselves as we hear this message. We want to pray, Lord, also for our elections tomorrow. We just pray, Lord, that you would equip us with the information that we need to be wise citizens tomorrow as we go to the polling stations to cast our vote. Speak through your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the passage I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 17 to 25. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men must who give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you all. That's the end of the book of Hebrews. So I've called my message today, What Christians Should Expect and How Christians Should Respond to Leadership. What we should expect and how we should respond. So we're going to look at these three areas of leadership. First of all, governmental leadership. Verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. I want to tackle these three areas of leadership in three ways. First of all, look at the tasks given to them. Then look at the goal that they should be creating, and then look at our response to them. So what's the task? What's the task of governmental leadership? Well, there are three things in this passage. First of all, exercise authority. Friends, the primary responsibility of government is to maintain law and order. The government means to govern. It needs to create an environment where the rules of law and order are maintained. The Book of Romans in chapter 13 has got a lot to say about government and leaders and governmental leadership. In verse 3 it says, "For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you." So friends, the task of government is to exercise authority. We need a strong government, a government that maintains the rules and regulations that govern us all. If we don't have rules and regulations, friends, we quickly sink into anarchy. And isn't much of that happening even in our own country? We need, friends, a government who will maintain authority, not allow things to get out of control. Their second task is to keep watch over us. Government is there to govern. Friend, true leaders are those that manage the affairs of state well. Romans 13 and verse 6 says, "This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servant who give you their full time to governing." Friends, the government should be governing. They should be managing the affairs of state well. That's the task of government. Friend, the government should be looking after the affairs of all. That's what we should be looking for as we choose leaders for our own country. And then thirdly, they should be accountable. Give account, it says. Friends, government is there to serve. It's there to give an account. Verse 4 of Romans 13 says, "For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer." Friends, governing governments should give account. They should be held accountable. We'll see that just now. Well, if those are the tasks, to exercise authority, to keep watch over, and to be accountable or to give account of themselves, what is their goal? How do they achieve that? Well, friends, they achieve that by creating an atmosphere of joy. Friends, they create a well-run country is a happy country. Listen to what it says there. "Obey them so that their work will be joy, not a burden, for that will be an advantage of you." Romans 13, verse 7 says, "Give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Friend, the goal of government is to create a happy country. And I'm not so sure whether we're so happy at the moment. Everybody seems to be grumbling about everything else. And it's not only in South Africa, friends. I talk to friends from all over the world. And there don't seem to be many governments doing a good job at the moment. Why? Not only there to create an atmosphere of joy, but they are there to benefit the people. Friend, government is there for the benefit of society. Any government that serves its own interests first should be voted out. The passage carries on, says, "Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." So, friends, the opposite to that is that it should be to our advantage. That passage is telling us that government should be doing things to the advantage of people. That's the goal of government, not to serve itself. Government officials, friends, they used to be called public servants. Now they seem to be thinking of themselves as public lords. No, friends, public servants, that's what they are. They're there to serve the people. But how should we respond? We give them a task to do. We expect them to achieve it. But how should we respond? Well, we should respond, first of all, through obedience. Verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. Romans 13 again has a message for us in verse 3. It says, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and he will commend you. Friend, we should respond by being law-abiding citizens, by obedience to submission and submission. We live and we're growing in a growing lawless society. Everybody just thinks the rules are there for somebody else, not for them. Folks, surely, as believers, we should be accountable and we should hold ourselves, we should be obedient and submissive as well. And then secondly, what our shadow should, we should be holding our leaders accountable. If they are to be accountable, we should hold them accountable. While leaders will ultimately be responsible to God, friends, and we can relax in that, where there will be tyrannical leaders and people like Verwoerd will be held accountable for the sins of our nation. But friends, we must hold them to account as well. The simplest way to do that in a democratic system is to vote. As Christians, friends, we have a duty to vote. It's our responsibility to hold our leaders accountable. If they're not doing the tasks that they should be doing, give the responsibility to somebody else. And if they don't do it, give it to somebody else until we find somebody who can do it effectively. So that's governmental leadership. But the writer to the book of Hebrews doesn't stop there. He carries on to talk about church leadership. Verses 18 and 19 and verse 22 to 24, he says, pray for us. We are sure, and he's talking about himself, of course, we are sure that we have a clear conscience, a desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all of your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. So what's the task of godly leaders? Well, two tasks. Firstly, preaching. He says, godly leaders, friends, primary responsibility is to preach God's word. Verse 22, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation. Friends, preachers who don't preach, Christian leaders, godly leaders who don't go to the Word of God and seek to explain what the Word of God is, even if they don't fully even comply by it, the task of a godly leader's friend is to point us to the Word of God. That's the ultimate task. If a preacher isn't preaching, he's not worth his salt. But not only should they preach, they should live as well. Set godly examples. Friends, godly leaders should set the pattern for life. Verse 18, the writer to the book of Hebrews says, we are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. Friends, that's the task of the godly leaders. They're to preach God's word and they're to set the godly examples. But how do they do that? What's their goal? Their goal, friends, is to create an atmosphere of encouragement. Friends, the church should be a place where God's people come to be strengthened. Verse 19 says, I particularly urge you. Verse 20 says, brothers, I urge you. Friends, as the preachers, we want you to be encouraged. Sometimes we've got to do it with a stick. Sometimes we've got to do it with a blessing. But friends, our goal is to motivate you to be better believers. How do we do that? Well, we do it by creating a welcoming environment. Friends, churches must be a place where people feel welcome and happy. Greet all the leaders, it says, and all God's people. Those from Italy send you greetings. Friends, the church needs to be a happy place. I was reading an article by Philip Yancey this last week, and he was saying one of the reasons why people are leaving churches is because churches are simply places of judgment, judgmental places. No, friends, the church's task is to encourage. So what should our response and what should your response be to godly leaders? The writer to the book of Hebrews asks only for one thing, and that is prayer. Verse 18, pray for us, he says. You see, friends, as godly leaders, we're often at the battlefront, at the coalface, against sin and Satan. And the best thing you can do is pray for godly leaders. Yes, other support is good, but friends, praying. I draw no greater encouragement than hearing from somebody that says to me they're praying for me. In the first 20 or 25 years of our ministry, when we were at theological college, we studied at in Johannesburg, and we went to church at a church called Troyville Baptist. And at Troyville, there were a group of old ladies there, well into their 60s and 70s when we were there. Friends, I just want you to know, at one point in time, Patricia and I went back there, probably 20 years after being there, and we bumped into one of the ladies that were there, and she said to us, Reuben and Patricia, I pray for you every week at this time on this day. Friends, what a blessing. What a blessing to know that one person was praying for us, and not only one, many others. But the writer to the Hebrews doesn't end there. He doesn't only talk about governmental leaders and godly leaders. He talks about God's leadership. Friends, verse 20 says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Grace be to you all. So what's the task of God's leadership? Well, first, friends, the first task of God's leadership is to receive glory. Friend, this may sound like a very strange thing, but God does everything for his own glory. The primary responsibility, friends, of God is to be God. God cannot contain himself. There is only one who deserves glory, and that is God. So when God gives himself glory, he is doing what is natural to him. If we blow our own trumpet, we're doing something selfish. But friends, God can know no other thing. Only he is worthy of all glory. So that's the first task of God's leadership, is to give himself the glory. And how does he do that? By accomplishing the other task. The other task, first, secondly, is to provide salvation. It says, verse 20, through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, God provides salvation. Only God can provide salvation. Friends, there is no other name given to man by which we are saved. So his task is to receive the glory, and he does that by saving us. But not only saving us, the other task is that he shepherds us. We've been working through the Psalm 23 in our devotions the last week or two, and I trust you've enjoyed just looking at what the work of the shepherd is. But friends, the God of the shepherd, God is the shepherd. Friends, the shepherd's task is to provide all that the sheep need. And friends, verse 20 reminds us that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. So God's task is to receive the glory, to provide salvation, and to shepherd us. How does he achieve that? What's his goal? Well, first of all, he creates an atmosphere of peace. Friends, peace isn't the absence of war. Friends, it's a state of well-being, a state of being in right relationship with God. That's the goal of God's leadership, to create that atmosphere. Friends, God wants all to be saved. And then his second goal is to equip God's people for his work. Friends, we're created for God's glory. Our lives only have meaning as we do his will. Verse 21 says that he equips you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him. Friends, his goal becomes our goal. That's God's leadership. And how should we respond to God's leadership? Well, friends, the only way we can respond is to receive. That's the final message of the book. Grace be with you all. Friends, that's leadership. God gives to us so that we may receive all that we need to do what he ultimately wants. So, we started this study with this theme. It's all about Jesus. And we'll end the study with this theme. It's all about Jesus. Friend, everything we do is to be to the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for this incredible book of Hebrews. What a blessing it has been to me, and I trust to many others, Lord. Trust that you would receive all the glory. Thank you, Lord, that as we fix our eyes on you, that, Lord, we will be drawn deeper and deeper in a meaningful relationship with you. To God's glory we pray that. Amen. Bless you again as you go through the rest of the day. Amen.